Jess, can I see you up here? Bring this baby up. Okay, now I want you to think about this. Because this could be true confessions. I'm going to ask you, what was the most outrageous trick you played on Dad and I while you were growing up? You don't know? You didn't do tricks on me? You didn't sneak out? You didn't go out and go with your friends? Or, oh, who's baby?
This is Julie,
one of the twins. Julie, look at this.
This is the miracle baby.
The miracle babies. Oh, he's a beautiful baby. Look at it. It got quiet in here. We are all looking at this baby. How is he? Oh. These are Julie's babies. Julie, these are your babies. Oh, my gosh.
Remember, she couldn't have babies.
Yes.
Two.
So do you know the miracle? Can you tell the miracle?
So Julie and her husband, how many years? Like, 8.5 years tried to have babies and couldn't. And so they finally had gotten pregnant, and they found out they were having twins. And so these are the miracle babies. And so, and Julie's been a part of Girlfriends forever in this church. Her husband is on our team of security and ushers and helping us out here. So they've been a blessing. So this is just some miracle babies that we have in our house. So, and is this Cole? Or yeah, this is Cole, and Hunter's in the, Cole and Hunter. Okay, so the topic has changed now. No, I did sneak out a lot. What is this Confession 101? What is happening here? I don't think you need to know. I think it's sometimes better. Am I preaching now? She's playing with the babies. This is not fair. No, I think that a lot of times me and Luke would mess around with mom and dad.
Luke was the son of Abraham, and Abraham is the father of faith, and what started the Israelite nation, the nation of Israel, and through Israel, God was going to bring forth and did bring forth his Messiah, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus Christ is Jewish. He was born into a Jewish family of the tribe of Judah, the tribe of the family of David, the great king in the tribe of Judah, into Israel, and God had redemption planned before the foundation of the world ever existed. And so these people that we study, and these people in the book, these people are real people. They had real lives like you and I. They made mistakes, and God does not cover up their mistakes. He doesn't just, you know, push it under the rug and say, oh, well, we'll move on with that. We won't talk about it. No, because he knows you and I. And he knows that I need to learn in the 21st century about the mistakes Rebecca made so that I don't have to make those mistakes in my life and suffer the consequence. And so Rebecca was the beautiful wife of Isaac. Isaac's mother, Sarah, had him when she was 90 years old. She has now died. Isaac is 40 years old. And so Sarah's gone. Abraham sends his faithful servant Eliezer off to go fetch a bride for Isaac. That was what lesson one was last week. We see that he traveled 400 miles by camel caravan. We talked about the camels are coming, that God brings his answers to prayer in very unusual ways. Ever ridden on a camel? I'm trying to get a camel here for GNO so we can have camel rides. I've never gotten it done yet, but I'm going to believe God that Pastor Sue's going to have a soft heart, and if only 20 to get a camel ride, the first 20 get one. And so we see that Eleazar asked God, I don't know who is to be Isaac's wife. I don't know these people. I've traveled this far. Please let the woman who comes to the well, a young maiden, she had to be a virgin and a young maiden, please let her offer not just to give me water, but offer to give my camels drink. And we found out how much that really meant, and that Rebecca had a servant's heart, and she was willing to go the extra mile. So life lessons from Rebecca would be, number one, when I'm willing to go the extra mile is actually going to hold my destiny. And when you don't want to, but you do, guess what? When you begin to step into that servanthood position as a woman of God, when you begin to get up and do what nobody else wants to do, when you begin to just say, okay, Lord, that's my job description. I'll die being a servant. If I want to be great in the kingdom of God, I've got to learn how to be the least. The higher I go, the less I am. That's how the kingdom is. When I begin to take that on, and you know, as women, it's hard to be a servant after a while because you say, been there, done that. I've cleaned this room once too many times. I've cooked this meal and everybody's complained about it once too many times. Can I get a witness in this house about that? I've tried to figure out the laundry and fold that. How many of you have unfolded laundry right now at your home? How many of you have a sock box or a sock bag or something where you just wonder where all those other socks went to? I used to think it was just the kids, but the kids have been gone for a long time, and my sock bag is just getting bigger. It's like, I know they have a life. I know that Seinfeld is right. There are condominiums behind the dryer, and there's a whole community of socks that have escaped and are living behind my dryer because my husband has to buy new socks all the time. God only knows where the other socks are. But we found out that Rebecca was a servant and that that was the very thing that Isaac was testing. I want my master's wife to have the right heart. And as women of God, the higher we go, the lower we go. And the older you go, the more servant you become. It never stops. It never ceases, because if we're going to be great in the kingdom of God, then we're going to emulate our Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, I have come not to seek, but to save that which was lost, not to be served, but to serve. And a life of service, a life of stepping into somebody else's trouble, a life of getting up when you want to sit down, a life of getting there, make a promise, keep a promise, make a commitment, keep the commitment. A life of integrity like that will take you to a destiny that you've never dreamed of, because it's a heart test. And God's women who are actually blessed of God and doing the will of God are going to be women like Rebecca that are willing to water all those camels. 10 camels, we found out that a camel can drink, oh my gosh, a camel can drink 100 gallons of water. So there was thousands of gallons of water that Rebecca was drawn from that well. Number two, we found out that she was willing to change. She got up and she left her family to go to a man she'd never met. Some of you said yes to Jesus today, and you just said yes to a kingdom you don't yet understand. You just know in your heart that this is true and it's right, but you don't know anything about it yet. That's all right, because you've taken a step of faith. That's what faith is. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that we don't see. In the kingdom of God, believing is seeing. In the kingdom of this world, this natural world, seeing is believing. And God says, in my kingdom, it's opposite. In my kingdom, it's different. I've taken you out of the kingdom of darkness, this natural world that you've been born into. That's all you know, this system that's under the power of demonic powers. I've taken you out of that kingdom. Even though you're still living here, I've now deposited you into my kingdom. And there's a whole new set of rules. There's a whole new way of living. And when you learn how to operate in my kingdom, even though you're still in this world over here, even though nothing in the natural has changed, everything's changed, because from the inside out, I've given you the kingdom. And now we begin to step out and walk out our lives as women of God by faith, walking in the love of God, through the grace of God, and everything changes because we're changed from the inside out. And the kingdom, the invisible kingdom, it's invisible. The invisible kingdom now is at your beck and call. It's there for you. Fear not, little flock. The Father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. But if you don't know how to access it, if you don't know how to tap into the miraculous, if you don't know how to take from the invisible world and bring it into this natural, visible world, then you are going to live a natural life. And you'll be a good Christian. You'll love God. You'll try to be good and do good, but you'll never experience the destiny and the supernatural kingdom of God that he has for you. And I guess my question is, why would we want to live that way? It's like if I was the daughter of a multi-billionaire, and he was a loving father and he did everything for me, why would I want to walk away from the family business, from the family, and from all the benefits and all the good that I could do with that power and that wealth? Why would I want to walk away from that if he was a good father and a loving father? Would any of you want to do that? Would any of you like to be born to a king that's a good king, that's rich king and a good dad? How many of you would like to be a real princess and have a real inheritance? And on the earth that your father had more money than he knew what to do with and he loved you, you were the apple of his eye? How many of you would like that fantasy, would like to be born? I would. Okay, are you alive in here? Of course you would. If your name is woman, you would, because that's a shadow of a dream on the inside of you that you had at one time. That's a shadow of the fall. That's why we like princess movies. That's why we like fantasy. That's why we like fairy tales. Because on the inside of us, there are shadows of reality. That's why in the twilight hours between sleep and wakefulness, there are things that you think about and things you dream and things you see and longings that you have in your heart. Have you ever wondered? Do you think you're just crazy? No, you're a daughter of God. And Jesus came and shed his blood and gave himself so that I could step into this kingdom. The kingdom I'm in right now is this natural world, and it's a war going on right now. But there's a day coming when the king is coming. There's a day coming when Messiah's kingdom will be at its fullness, when I will have full redemption, and the lion will lay down with the lamb, and the bear and the ox will eat together, and there'll be no more war and no more lying and no more sin, and it will be the kingdom of heaven come to earth, and there'll be a new earth and there'll be a new heaven, and it's real, and I live for that day. I live for that day. That's why the church, Paul wrote to the church, if there's no resurrection, we are of all people most miserable. They're giving their lives for the faith of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get so earthbound that we don't even think about what's ahead of us. Tell you something, girls, the best is yet to come. That's why you have a depressed day. You just tell the devil the best is yet to come. It may not look good earth side, but guess what? I'm not living earth side right now. I'm looking heaven side, and it's looking real good, devil. It's looking real good. And I see where you're going, and hell is hot, and it's forever, and you are on your way, and I'm on my way to heaven. So you want to give me your best shot? Go right ahead, because I'm putting on a garment of praise. Maranatha, even so, come quickly, Lord. I'm believing for your return. You see, that's we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live that way. So, Rebecca marries Isaac. Isaac is the covenant son. He has inherited the blessing from Abraham. Through Isaac, all the seed of the world will be blessed. Why? Because Messiah is coming through Isaac's line. My beloved, that is why we see right now in the news the war that is going on in the Middle East. This is not something that just happened. This is something that was lived. This book is true and it's real. Isaac had a son, had a wife named Rebecca. So we see as we look at Rebecca's life that she went to follow the king, the prince. When I'm willing to change, my destiny's ahead of that change. If I'll follow Jesus, go after him. Today, I'm going to look at one more thing in her life. There's a lot in her life we could study, but we're just going to do one more thing today. We're going to look at part two. This is part three, but this is point three. It's going to be to speak truth, not lies. Because in Rebecca's life, something happened. Something happened that caused her to go askew. She's married to the prince. She's married to the man of God. She has all the wealth she needs. And we see in Rebecca's life in the book of Genesis, and you'll find Rebecca in the book of Genesis, and you can read about her from Genesis 24 to Genesis 27. She's not mentioned after Jacob comes back home. But we find that Rebecca, like Julie and Julie's miracle twins, Rebecca couldn't get pregnant. She was married to Isaac for 20 years, and there was still no baby. So that puts Isaac at 60 years of age. Now, it's interesting that the very thing that they had to have, which was children, to carry on the family, to carry on the generations that would carry on the nation of Israel, that would carry on the line to bring Messiah in, are you with me? Was the very thing that the woman who was programmed by God to bring forth couldn't do. She couldn't have children. So Isaac seeks God and she gets pregnant, another miracle pregnancy. She's pregnant, and in this pregnancy, there is a war going on. And there is such a war going on that she doesn't know what's going on because she's never had a baby before. And she says, something's not right. And so she goes to seek the Lord. And God speaks to her He doesn't speak to Isaac. He speaks to Rebekah. Now, I don't know how old she was when she met Isaac. She was a young maiden. She was obviously younger than Isaac. He's 40. But by this time, Isaac is 60. She's pregnant, and God says, there are two nations in your womb. And this is what he says in chapter 26. I'm sorry, it's chapter 25, verse 23. Verse 21 says, now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. I'm looking at chapter 25, verse 22. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went in to inquire of the Lord. Julie, I just want to ask, did you feel like that when you were carrying twins? And the Lord said to her, and now God has a word. Now, this is what I want you to remember. God spoke to her. He spoke this word to her. This is the first recorded word of God speaking to a woman beyond Eve. Okay? I don't know how he spoke to her. I don't know if he spoke audibly. I don't know if he said a prophet. It doesn't tell us, so I'm not going to try to even assume how. I just know that God spoke. And the word of God, when the word of God comes, faith comes, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When God speaks, and we're going to look at this today because his word is true, your heart and my heart hears it. Yes, with my physical ears, but sometimes with my spiritual ears, and faith begins to come into my heart. So she had faith because she had a word from God. Would you say that's true? And God says to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. Now, if there were twins in your womb after you got that word, would you believe God? Of course you would, right? Because God told you you were having twins, and there they are, right? So do you think Rebekah had faith for this now? She knew God had spoken to her. Okay. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau, which means red. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob, which means supplanter. So she's got twins. Now remember, there's no cesarean, there's no doctors. This is just the birth canal, right? So Esau is the firstborn, and Jacob has his hand on Esau's heel as head first. Esau's being born, and as Esau's being born and his legs come out, there's this little hand, and there is Jacob, and they named him because he had a hold of his brother's heel, and his name meant supplanter. Okay? Someone that takes what isn't theirs. He wasn't the firstborn, but he wanted it. All right? You're with me? Afterward, his brother came out, and he took hold of Esau's heel. They called his name Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So we see that the family now grows up. And like every family, there can be favorites. That man can like one son. The woman can like another. Jacob liked to hang out with his mom. He wanted to learn how to cook. He wasn't out there being the manly man. He was where the tents were. He was probably more pensive, probably more technical, probably more a quiet man. And yet Esau was rough and rugged and out there doing the things that men do, hunting the game and everything else. And one day Esau comes in from the field, and he's so famished that Jacob is at the campsite. And this is what happens in verse 29. Now Jacob cooked stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom, red. That's what it read. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. Sell me your birthright, because the firstborn inherited the inheritance. The firstborn had the double portion, and they were the head of the clan, and they would lead the clan and the family. So Esau was the firstborn by right of inheritance. He had the inheritance. Jacob wanted it. Jacob says, you hungry? Sell me your birthright. Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day, verse 32. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as this day. So he swore to him. Now they swear over this thing. And Jacob and Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and a stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now the very thing that God had given him, his inheritance, he didn't care about. He despised it. It wasn't worth any more than a bowl of beans. And you see, believer, as you and I receive the inheritance of God, what I talked about today, the kingdom of God, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Cost a lot to give me the kingdom. Cost everything heaven had. And when I sell the kingdom out for a bowl of beans, when I sell the kingdom of God out for something on this earth, because everything in this earth is equal to a bowl of beans compared to what the wealth of the kingdom is worth, then I am despising my birthright. And that's why I'm telling you, it's not the same, girls. Times are changing fast in the church. There's a season coming. There's a wind blowing. Hear what I'm saying. I am prophesying to you. This is not the same, and life is not the same. There is a spirit of holiness that is blowing through the church, and it's blowing through the rock. It's just beginning. It hasn't really come yet. It's just beginning to whisper through this church, and it's called holiness. It's called getting right with God. It's called living for God, not living for myself, not living for a bowl of beans, not going home and watching what I used to watch and do what I used to do and sleep with the man I used to sleep with that I'm not married to, mess around, do this, do that, lie, do this, do that. No, no. God's saying, you really want the birthright? You want the kingdom? You want the power of God and the miracles of God? You want me to give you that which I have to give you? Then you're going to have to get your hearts so I can be, you can be trusted with the kingdom of God. Because Isaac despised his birthright. And it says, Esau I hated, but Jacob I loved. You see, Jacob wanted it. He'd get it any way he could. He'd get it any way he could. Now, the problem is he got it in the flesh, and you can't get the kingdom in the flesh. So let's fast track now. So now Isaac is old, chapter 27. Talking about lying today. He's an old man. He's so old now. Isaac was, you know, 60 years old. I'm guessing Isaac was a good 20 years older than Rebecca. Let's say she was 20, a young maiden. He was 40 when he met her. So let's give him 20 years above her. Is that a fair assumption? That's an assumption the Bible doesn't tell us. It just tells us how old he was when the boys were born. So now let's fast track. Now the boys are men. You know, they're in their 40s, their 30s. They're men. Esau has married two women. He's got a family. And Isaac is so blind that he can't see in chapter 27. Verse 1 says, now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that they could not see that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son, and he answered, here I am. He said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapon, your quiver, and your bow, and go out into the field and hunt game for me. Make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Do you think that as these parents watched these boys growing up, that they knew what Jacob had done with Esau, despised his birthright? Do you think that Rebecca ever told Isaac what God said about two nations in her womb? Would that be something you would tell your husband? Yes, you would tell your husband if you were in love and you were having a child. You'd say, God spoke to me and this is what he said. Right? I'm assuming that they probably talked as husband and wife. I'm assuming that when they started out in this relationship, they loved each other because it says Isaac loved Rebecca. I'm assuming that things were good. And then as the years go by, things change. People change. People get old. Isaac is so old he can't see now, and he likes the flesh. He likes the food. He knows probably, I don't know if he does or not, that God said the younger is going to rule over the older. But he's ready to give Esau the birthright. And once that birthright is given, it can't be taken back. Now, this is what Rebecca does. Now, I'm talking today about lying. Rebecca in verse 6 says, so Rebecca's listening to this. So Rebecca spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I've heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me, and I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. This is women ruling. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I'll make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Is that deceptive? She knows how to get to his man. Hey, if you're having problems with your man, can I just give you a hint from the Word of God? Just cook something he loves. That will instantly start to soften the heart. You know that old proverb from the women of old? A man, the way to a man's heart is through his. You know what? It is through his. It is. It is. Men are not complicated. They like good food. Just a little tip on the side. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and do what I've commanded you. Go now to the flock, bring me there two choice kids. Then you take it to your father that he may eat it, that he may bless you before his death. Verse 11, and Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is hairy and I'm smooth skinned. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him and shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. Hello, mom, what are you thinking? He's going to feel me, touch me, hear me. He's going to know I'm not Esau. We're totally different. Look at what Rebecca says. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. Now we know what happened in the story. Jacob went in, deceived his father. Isaac was blind and gave Isaac the birthright. He blessed him politically. He blessed him financially. And he blessed him tribally. All three blessings that can be on earth, he was handed over. He was given the blessing. God wants to bless us politically as leaders. He wants to bless us economically. And he wants to bless us physically, our seed. That's a blessing of God. In every realm and arena of life, it's the kingdom of God and he's the king. Isaac's carrying the blessing. He passes it on to Jacob. Esau comes back, finds out what Jacob has done, is ready to kill Jacob. Now there is murder between the brothers, and Jacob has to run for his life to Laban, his uncle, 400 miles away where Rebekah came. And he finds a wife there. That's where Leah, and that's where Rachel came, and that's where the 12 sons come from. That's a whole other story. I'm telling you, these stories aren't, these are people living just like you and me, making the same mistakes we make. Now, what did she do? She knew it was God's will for Jacob, right? Can we just talk today? Teaching a little bit different today, just participating with me. Do you see that it was the will of God for Jacob to have the birthright? Do we see that Esau despised the birthright? What my question to you is, was it right to acquire the birthright through deception? You say no? No, it wasn't. Did God honor it? Yes, he did. Isaac said, I can't take it back. So I'm not here to judge Rebecca. Had I been Rebecca, had I been born then, had I lived with Isaac, had I been in all of those circumstances that the Bible doesn't tell me about, I'm not bashing Rebecca today. This is not let's bash Rebecca in the teaching today. But let's now go to the New Testament because I'm living in the 21st century. I've got a new covenant and life is different for me. And Rebecca got the will of God through deceit. But that is not how you and I bring the kingdom of God into our world. Rebecca didn't trust God to do it his way. She decided to do it her way. Now, I don't want to unravel all that because there's a lot of things in here I don't understand, and God doesn't give me telescopic view into these scriptures. He says what he says, and that's enough. So let's go now to the New Testament. You say it's not right to get God's kingdom through deception and treachery? Do you say that? What say ye? Yes? Why? God despises liars. So is it right to do something wrong to get something good? No, stop a minute. Wait. You're all saying no, no. Some of you say no, but some of you aren't talking because you're thinking, well, is that anything in my life? Am I living something that's wrong to get something that's right? Did you hear what I just said? Am I living something that's wrong to get something that's right? Am I living something that's wrong to get something that's right? Now, I want to tell you something. 2 weeks ago, I did something that God really convicted me of. Jim is generous beyond anything. He's a generous man. I'm married to a wonderful man. And I was antiquing. And I went into this antique store. And I saw these chairs. And they were so cheap. And I knew just where I could put them. And I had saved up a little money. And I thought, I've got this little fund, my allowance, a little bit more than my allowance. I'm going to buy these chairs. There was a twinge in my heart that said, you should ask Jim. No, it's okay. He won't care. But so I just bought the chairs. I did not tell him I bought the chairs. Now, why didn't I tell him that I bought the chairs? So I just left them there, and I needed to get his car to go get them the next day. Now, this whole time, this 24-hour period, I'm just twinging to it. It's called your spirit has a voice. It's called conscience. It's going off on him. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. Holy Spirit, it's all right. He's going to be okay with this. So I get in the car, and I take the SUV off to go get the chairs. However, the chairs and the store were closed, and when I drove into the driveway, there was a curb, and I ran right into it. Well, as soon as I got in the car, I got out immediately to see if I did any damage. Didn't look like anything. A little scrape over here on the hubcap, but I thought, oh, that's all right. That's happened before. We can get away with that. I get in the car, and all of a sudden, and the tire is flat. So now I've got a flat tire. I had no cell phone. I forgot it. It's at home. And I got to get the car to a gas station. I'm talking about lying. So I got to the gas station on the rim. Then I drive into the gas station, and it's a Mercedes, and they can't fix it. So I got to go borrow somebody's cell phone to call my husband. It's 100 degrees and say, I don't know what happened, but I got a flat tire. Like it was his fault. Like a true woman that can lie herself into anything. Now, how did we get a flat tire? Where'd you take this car, honey? Because I'm driving it, and it's flat, and I need you to come rescue me. It's 100 degrees out here. He was moving Kim. He was already tired and cranky. It was Monday after Sunday. You know, so he finally got there and got AAA there and the tire, and then we took the tire in, and it was both tires were ruined. All because I didn't tell the truth. Now, obviously, I confessed, and I told him what had happened. And he already knew that I had done it. He'd already known all of this stuff, and he just looked at me and said, but I was so convicted. I've been married to this man almost 34 years. Why did I do that? Why did Rebecca lie to Isaac? Why do we lie? Why is it we tell that little white lie? Why is it we tell that little fib? Oh, I'm sorry, he's not here on the phone when he's right there, but he doesn't want to talk. Come on, can we just live here for a minute? We live. Old nature is to lie. Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies, that there is no truth in him. John chapter 8, verse 44. Can you pull that scripture up? Because why it's wrong to lie in the kingdom of God, now that you and I are washed in the blood of Jesus, and I am your pastor before you in sin. I mean, I've been cleansed of it. I repented. I'm right with God. It's not going to follow me to heaven, okay? But confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. You may be thinking less of me right now, and that's okay, because I don't care. If it helps you to look at your own life, and let's identify some things in our life that maybe we do all the time and say it's okay, justify things that really aren't true. Are you with me? You are the father. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. There is no truth in Satan. That's why we started out today with the show and tell, talking about believing a lie is unbelief. You are now in the kingdom of God, and the system that God has put you into is called faith. It's the economy of heaven. It moves the invisible into the visible world. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's why I said, how many of you would like to have a rich dad that loves you and is a good father? You see, that's who God is. He loves you. He's a good father. He's not mad at you like my honey. He wasn't mad that I bought those chairs. Why did I lie to him? Because I didn't want to answer to him. I didn't want to hear him say no in case he might have said no and I wanted them. I wanted my way. So I did this little white lie that got me into so much trouble and is bringing a message out of it. Now look, if I can do that as a pastor, holy, sanctified, living with God all these years, do you think you can do this? Do you think you do this? Yes, we all do. A half-truth is a lie. A half-truth is a lie. Let me read you some quotes about lying. There's no such thing as white lies. A lie is as black as coal and twice as foul. All unbelief is the belief of a lie. When you listen to the devil and you believe him, you are in unbelief. You have listened to a lie and you're living a lie. So I said, what does the doctor say? What does Jesus say? Because there's a big difference between the diagnosis in the natural world and what Jesus says you can be healed says. One's truth, one's a lie. Now, it's true. I mean, you're living the reality of it. I'm not telling you to bury your head in the sand. But I'm saying I got to believe God's word above everything else. Because either God is true or God is not true. He's either all God or no God. It's either all true or none of it's true. I can't pick and choose here what I want to hear and believe and what I don't. It's either all or nothing in the kingdom of God. That's why when you got saved this morning, I said, you can't just be a little in and a little out. It's either all or nothing with God. Jump in. Jump into the kingdom. Give him your life. But I'm living with a man. Oh, well, guess what? If you'll go to him, he'll help you get unraveled from that relationship and make it right because you're miserable right now. Nobody's condemning you here, but you're living an untruth to get something right. You're not married. And you're worth being married because you're the daughter of God. And he loves you and he loves those kids. And they're worth having a dad. They're worth having a dad that's saved. So that man may not be saved. He may be living with you right now, but God has a better plan. And the plan probably involves him, but he needs to get saved, marry you, and get things right so the two of you can serve God together. But doing it in the world's way is not going to make it right. Listen to this one. A little lie is like a little pregnancy. It doesn't take long before everyone knows. C.S. Lewis. I love this one. Mark Twain said this. Always tell the truth. That way you don't have to remember what you said. Always tell the truth. That way you don't have to remember what you said. Before Jesus, I was a really good liar. I could lie my way out of anything because I'm a talker. I'm an exhorter by gift. So I could sell you something. I could lie. And I was good at it. I was good at it. But guess what? I'm not good at it anymore because it's not my lifestyle anymore. And when I do it, it's called sin. And God will make sure that my sin finds me out and will not let me get away with anything. Because I have a high standard that I better live. It's called holiness. So, here comes Rebecca, and she's lying to Isaac. And God says, I don't want you doing that. I don't want you to take the flesh to get the spirit. That's a lie. You've got to get spiritual things through the kingdom of God. So, what does that mean? It means that God is true and everyone else is a liar. First of all, I've got to settle what is truth. What is truth? Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? He's God, girls. Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Now, right there tells me that Rebecca did not have to deceive Isaac to get the blessing. There could have been another way, but she didn't use it. And the pressure is to get what you want another way and not wait for God's will in the situation. That's lying. That's living a lie. Who is a liar? Satan's a liar. Anything he tells you is a lie. Operating in God's truth is the only way to bring in the kingdom. I'm going to give you scripture to prove it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21 and 23. Can I get that scripture up? I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Truth begins and is God. He is the God of truth. He does not lie. It's impossible for God to lie because everything God says comes to pass. Hello. He's God. Your God and my God is God, the only God, no other God. I'm not God and you are not God, but we know the I am who makes us who we are. He is not a liar. That's why I can live by the book. That's why I can take the risk of living the truth, telling the truth, because living the truth is not lying. When you're not living the truth, you're living a lie. You're living a lie. And you wonder why you're not blessed? You wonder why things aren't changing? My question today to you is, look at your life. Are there lies that you've believed and that you're living now? Because God wants to unravel those in your life. Now, my little lie got me into an accident and got me into a wasted day and made me look bad in front of all my friends because I'm confessing it to you. All right? What are you living? I don't want to know. And nobody else needs to know. But this is between you and God. As you sit here, girlfriends, as you watch through the internet, what are you living today? Are you living truth or are you living a lie? Three things this morning before we go to the tables and finish this up. So what are we to do with the truth? Glad you asked. Number one, Jesus said, know it. Know it. John 8, 31 and 32 says, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, even you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing the truth is living the truth, girls. It's not knowing it in your head and living something else in your heart. Here's what's going to happen. As you hear the truth of God and you're living something else, have you ever tried to talk the Holy Spirit into something? I do all the time. I'm much more wicked than you are. I have conversations with him continually, and I'll try to talk him into my point of view. And if my point of view is not his point of view, I am living a lie. And I'm not stepping into the light and the truth. And guess who has to change? It is not God the Holy Spirit that says, okay, let's negotiate. You do a little, I'll do a little. It's either all or nothing. Because the kingdom is not negotiable. It's either God's way or no way. I can't get the kingdom in my life my way. I have to do it God's way. And that means if I have to wait and not buy something that I want. I don't bring those new pair of shoes home and just kind of put them in the closet and not tell my husband. And he says, oh, do you have a new pair of shoes? Oh, no, I've had these for a long time. That's because you do that too. Yeah, see? I feel so wicked up here, honestly. I need you to lay hands on me and just get me washed in the blood. It's amazing how we lie. God says, know it. Know it means do it. It will make you free. Lying will put you in bondage. Living a lie will put your life in bondage. Living the truth will put you into freedom. And listen, there's all kinds of secret things. You got secret things in your heart, secret habits, secret things that you do. Nobody knows about. It's just you and God. But he talks to you about those things. Listen to him. These are non-negotiable. because you're living a piece of your life as a lie, and he wants to clean that up. And he wants to set you free. That's why he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Living the truth sets you free. It will cost you everything. It will cost you that habit. It will cost you that desire, because you're going to have to get it God's way and not yours. It'll mean you'll have to maybe give something up, maybe a relationship, maybe something you like doing, something you don't know how to give up. But if you'll trust God, he'll give you the grace, God's sovereign divine ability, to get the job done on your behalf and my behalf when we can't do it. God's truth in me to do what is, God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. When I read this book, when this book begins to wash my soul and reprove me and rebuke me and make, give me correction and cause me to be perfect, that I would be wanting in nothing, 2 Timothy 3:16. And I see in my life, I can't do that anymore. I shouldn't be doing that, but I still got to do it. God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that, but I'm doing it. It's like biting your nails. Shouldn't bite your nails, but you're biting your nails. Smoking, you know you shouldn't, but you're still smoking. Come on. Eating too much. You shouldn't be eating the way you are, but you are. You don't like yourself. You don't like to go clothes shopping because you don't like how you look in clothes. Tell me if that's freedom. No, it's not freedom. It's a lie that we tolerate and we live with. Sneaking those drinks. When you're a little depressed or you're a little under, you have a big glass of wine, then another glass of wine. Then now look, you can have some wine, but you know what? When wine begins to take the peace of God away, and it is the peace of God in your life, a little wine, guess what? You're substituting the peace of God for something natural. And God's jealous. He don't want anything in my life substituting for kingdom stuff. Are you all right with me? Know it, to wear it. I'm to wear the truth. Called the belt of truth. It's part of my weapons. If we were fighting in a war right now and I was a man in the first century church, I'd have a robe, and when I had to go to war, I would have to gather my robe through my legs, wrap it around me at my waist, and I would have a belt that would gird it, keep it in place. And then that belt would hold my sword. It would hold my defensive weapon. All right? The belt of truth is to gird our loins, to gird us so that when we are in war, we can fight the fight of faith. Because when I'm wearing truth and doing truth, because to wear truth means I got to do it. When I'm in the truth and my heart doesn't condemn me, and the enemy's coming against me, my family, my children, my body, my finances, and there is nothing in me that's condemning me, I can say, oh, wait a minute, devil. See, I had a hard time asking God for help when I had flat tires and I was in a lie. Oh, God, help me. He did, because he loves me and he's teaching me. But if this would have been a legitimate flat tire, I would have had my cell phone with me. It would have gone a whole lot different. I wouldn't have had to rely on myself. I could rely on God. And when you are in a battle, you don't need to rely on what you can do. You need to rely on what God can do. And when you wear truth, it puts the battle gear in array, and it's at your beck and call. Number three, speak it. I'm to live it, I'm to wear it, and I'm to speak it. In other words, God says, speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You live in a world of lies. I live in a world of deception. I turn on the news and I get deception. Right and left. Don't kid yourself. I live in a world of intrigue. I live in a world that is filled with demonic powers, that is filled and under the rule and the law of Satan. That's why Jesus said to his church, be wise as serpents. Don't you be like Eve and you be overtaken by the craftiness of Satan. Don't be a dumb blonde. You'll be wise women. You're my daughters. You'll be as smart as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. In other words, it's time to get savvy. It's time to understand what evil is and not go near it, not touch it, not engage in it, not let it be part of your life. Don't fudge on your taxes. Don't fudge on your business. Don't fudge on your money. Don't fudge on your life. Don't fudge on your sex life. Don't fudge on anything that you do. Live the truth. And when you live the truth, that belt of truth that's girding up your loins, let me tell you something. You will win the battle when the battle comes to you. Speak it. Well, what about how? Okay, now what do I do when I have to tell the truth, but it's going to hurt somebody? Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Listen, there's every kind of lie going on in our nation, in the world. We are either Christians or we're not. We are not Republicans. We are not Democrats. We are not black. We are not white. We are not Hispanic. We are not Asian. Those may be our tribal earth colors, but we are born of the Spirit of God, of the tribe of the Lion of Judah. Messiah is our King. We have been taken into a new kingdom, adopted into the house of God. He is our Father, and we are a brand new tribe, a new creation that has never been. We are daughters of the King, and we better stand up and start acting like it and speak the truth and live it. Sometimes that means I'm going to be popular, and sometimes I'm not going to be so popular. Now, am I going to compromise the truth to please men? And that is what I'm going to leave you with today. Because God says, speak the truth in love. Don't be rude, because love isn't rude. But you speak the truth in love. It may get you wrapped up in animal skins and thrown into a coliseum, like the first century church, which it did happen to them, because they couldn't deny the truth. It may get you on a cross. But I'll tell you what, it's the truth. And if it costs you everything, it's worth living for. And you see, until you and I start to look at our lives and say, ooh, right here, I see deception. I'm believing a lie. I'm living a lie. I've let this habit come into my life, and it's now causing me to be in bondage. It's a lie. See, until we start to look at our lives, every area of it, we're not going to get free. Now, Rebecca was never heard of again. I don't know if she ever saw Jacob again. I don't know if she ever got to see her grandkids. She said, the curse, let it be on me. She spoke it. When I live a lie, it'll put me in bondage, and it will destroy me. It's not worth it. The truth will cost us, but it'll set us free. So today, my question is, take a look at your life today. When you go home, talk to God. Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. He'll quicken in your heart. Little thing here and a little thing there. Maybe you already know. Maybe it's not a little thing. Maybe it's a big thing. He'll give you the grace to change it. And if it's a little thing, he'll bring it to your attention, because you can't change what you don't know. You can't change what you've talked yourself into, right? So did you get something out of today? Truth.